Today, higher for longer, yes, really. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news, and this is our weekly market update. Well, US stocks ended a volatile session higher on Friday, as investors adjusted comments from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell that the US central bank may need to raise interest rates further to ensure inflation is contained. Any thoughts that the 2% inflation goal long sought by the US Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank, by the way, might possibly be in for a tweaking, were dashed on Friday by the chiefs of both institutions. So the Dow posted a second weekly loss, despite closing higher on Friday, as tech rebounded following a dip intraday after Jerome Powell's remarks. Gathering at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, for the annual Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City Economic Symposium, both Fed Chair Jerome Powell and ECB President Christine Lagarde made plain their views. There will be no change to central bankers' shared objectives of getting inflation right back down to 2%. 2% is and will remain our inflation target, Powell said in his keynote address. We are committed to achieving and sustaining a stance of monetary policy that is sufficiently restrictive to bring inflation down to that level over time. In his Jackson Hole speech, Powell said restrictive monetary policy is called for to achieve the 2% inflation target. Bringing inflation back to target is expected to require a period of below-trend economic growth, as well as some softening in labour market conditions, the Fed chief added. And at lunch, Lagarde was asked about the idea of moving the goalpost to accommodate that new reality. Like Powell, she said no. We are playing a game. There are rules. Don't change the rules of the game halfway through. I'm not saying that we are halfway through, probably a bit more than that, Lagarde said. Increasing the target could undermine efforts to anchor inflation expectations, she said, and anchored expectations are key to keeping inflation constrained. Treasury yields surged in anticipation of higher for longer rate regimes, with the 2-year Treasury yield briefly rising close to the cycle high of 5.12%. And following Powell's comments on Friday, expectations of a rate hike in November rose from a day earlier, according to FedWatch. Most traders still expect the Fed to hold off hiking in September. But the 10-year is still higher at 4.231, although down from recent highs of above 4.3%. So on Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 0.7%, the Nasdaq was up 0.9%, and the S&P 500 was up 0.7%. The S&P 500 and Nasdaq snapped a 3-week losing streak as a result. Tech briefly came under pressure from those rising Treasury yields, which makes growth sectors like tech with high valuations less attractive, as Google and Meta subsequently cut losses. Marvel Technology closed more than 6% lower to keep a lid on gains in chips, despite reporting quarterly results that topped Wall Street estimates, as investors weighed the chip maker's foray into AI-centric products against a downbeaten outlook in memory demand. We see Marvel's cautious commentary on storage, for example, slower than expected recovery, as paralleling our conversations regarding continued soft CSP spend and the resulting headwinds for NAND and SSD and HDD demand, Wedbush said in the note. Nvidia Corporation, meanwhile, was also a drag on the broader tech, as investors appeared to take some profits on the chipmaker, which has racked up gains of more than 220% this year following its recent quarterly results that surprised to the upside. Gap rose more than 7%, shrugging off mixed quarterly results that included weaker second quarter revenue and third quarter guidance, thanks to a cautious outlook on the consumer. Ultra Beauty, meanwhile, fell more than 3% despite lifting its annual guidance and delivering quarterly results that beat on the top and bottom lines, as some question whether robust demand for beauty products is likely to continue amid a weakening consumer. Whilst the stellar demand for beauty products seen in the first part of the year is set to moderate, UBS said. Ultra Beauty will be structurally better positioned over the long term due to its supply chain operational investments and more profitable e-commerce business. Now, oil futures climbed about 1% to a one-week high on Friday as US diesel prices soared, the number of oil rigs dropped, and a fire broke out in a refinery in Louisiana. Brent futures rose 1.82% to settle at $84.64 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate rose 1.27% to settle at $80.06. Crude prices rose despite weak economic news from Germany, Europe's biggest economy, and the US dollar rose to an 11-week high against a basket of other currencies after US Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said further interest rate hikes may be needed to fight inflation. Higher interest rates can, of course, slow economic growth and reduce oil demand. A stronger dollar can also slow demand by making oil more expensive for holders of other currencies. And by the way, US consumer sentiment, meanwhile, also fell modestly in August as short and long-term inflation expectations worsened, according to a recent survey. Analysts at Morgan Stanley said they expect Brent prices to be well supported around $80 a barrel, with crude likely to remain in a deficit over the rest of this year before returning to a small surplus by early 2024. But the likelihood of crude deficits is not a foregone conclusion, said John Evans of oil broker PVM. Over in Goldland, gold prices fell slightly on Friday as traders largely favoured the dollar ahead of more signals on US monetary policy from Jackson Hole, although signs of weakening growth still kept gold above some key support levels. And gold also ended up with its first positive week in five as it recovered from five-month lows earlier in August. But despite Friday's losses, spot prices still retain the closely watched $1,900 per ounce level. Still, the outlook for the yellow metal does remain muddled by the prospect of higher US interest rates. The dollar stood as an over two-month high on Friday while Treasury yields rose back towards multi-decade highs. Gold futures expiring in December fell 0.2% to $1,943 an ounce, while other readings also showed a slowdown in US business activity. Rising interest rates have pushed up the opportunity cost of holding gold over the past year, keeping gains in the yellow metal limited. Now, over in Europe, markets were in the end pretty flat, with the DAX in Germany at 15,631, the CAC 40 in France slightly up to 7,229.60, and the FTSE in London at 7,338.58. European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde said the higher for longer interest rates were necessary to achieve the central bank's key objective of bringing inflation back to its 2% target. In the current environment, this means for the ECB setting interest rates at sufficiently restrictive levels for as long as necessary to achieve a timely return of inflation to our 2% medium-term target, she said. Eurozone inflation dropped to 5.3% annually in July, but that is still well above the target rate of 2%. The ECB president also stressed the need for central banks to adopt flexibility on monetary policy, acknowledging that policy decisions can't exclusively rely on models that are estimated with old data or focus too much on current data, as this is likely to make monetary policy a reactive force rather than a stabilizing one. In fact, Lagarde outlined that the ECB's reaction function was based on three criteria: the inflation outlook, the dynamics of underlying inflation, and the strength of monetary policy transmission. While this multi-legged approach would be needed to calibrate policy effectively, Lagarde said there is also a need to enhance the processes by updating forecasting technologies with variables that act as the best leading indicators. Well, they all are admitting their models aren't very effective at the moment, so that's probably right. The ECB previously raised its key interest rate by 25 basis points to 4.25% in July, taking rates to their highest level since 2000. The comments from Lagarde came just as data on Friday showed that ongoing signs of stuttering growth in the Eurozone was clear to see. Germany, the growth engine in the Euro area, released a downbeat German IFO survey on Friday, showing sentiment among businesses deteriorated further, stoking fears of another recession in Europe's largest economy. Now, over in Asia, most Asian stocks fell sharply on Friday, with technology shares seeing a sharp reversal as the markets turned broadly risk-averse ahead of what might be coming from Jackson Hole, despite some support to regional tech stocks earlier from Nvidia, as investors locked in strong profits on tech stocks, which had risen in the run-up and aftermath of the Nvidia results. Tech-heavy Asian exchanges were among the worst performers of the day, with Hong Kong's Hang Seng and South Korea's KOSPI down 1% and 0.6% respectively. Memory chip makers Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, both of which saw strong gains earlier in the week, sank between 1.5% and 3%, while Baidu, Alibaba and Tencent, the three big tech stocks in China, fell between 0.7% and 2%. TSMC, Asia's biggest chip maker, slumped nearly 3%, while the Taiwan-weighted index fell 1.1%. India's Nifty 50 index also slid in reaction to the slide in tech stocks. And of course, the prospect of higher interest rates and the worsening economic conditions offset any optimism they might have had. Japan's Nikkei 225 followed suit. It slumped more than 2%, while the Topex lost 0.7% amid steep losses in tech stocks, as well as concerns over the worsening trade ties with China. Chip equipment maker Advantest Corp slid 10% and was by far the worst performer on the Nikkei 225. The stock reversed all of its gains made earlier in the week. China banned the import of seafood from Japan, citing concerns over radioactive contamination, as Japan began releasing contaminated water from the Fukushima plant into the Pacific Ocean. China is Japan's top seafood export market, although marine exports make up less than 1% of Japan's total exports. Asian stocks were also rattled by US Treasury yields trending upward to multi-decade highs, as markets feared potentially hawkish signals on US monetary policy from Powell later in the day, which of course eventuated. Analysts have warned that Powell could flag an era of higher baseline interest rates, which bodes poorly for risk-driven markets as monetary conditions tighten. This notion weighed on broader Asian markets, with China's Shanghai Composite Index down 0.59%. Now, China's banks will likely cut deposit rates as soon as possible as part of efforts to make mortgages more affordable and revive property demand, analysts reading China's cryptic policy messages at least reckon. Beijing's decision to leave a key mortgage benchmark lending rate unchanged, even as it cut short-term policy rates this week, seems at odds with a pledge made just weeks ago to support the property sector via monetary policy. But China did not opt for a broad rate cut that would further depress the bank's narrow interest net margins, instead deferring to the banks to cut their deposit rates and give themselves room to cheapen mortgages, analysts said. Like in previous instances of monetary easing, major state-owned banks might take the lead in cutting deposit rates, setting off a chain of such cuts. Lowering deposit rates will give banks much needed wiggle room to cut mortgage rates. And bankers also said households are making a beeline for bank-issued certificates of deposit, CDs, to lock in the current yields. Further reductions to deposit rates are arrows in the string, said Yang Yifeng, bank analyst at Everbright Securities. At the current stage, the biggest uncertainty lies in the contraction among the narrowing net interest margins at banks, supporting the real economy and maintaining fiscal stability. Such concern among policymakers is rare in the communist state that has in the past often pressed banks into national service, demanding commercial banks sacrifice profits to serve the economy. In its second quarter monetary policy statement published this month, the PBOC said commercial banks need to maintain a reasonable level of profit and net interest margin in order to keep prudent operations and to prevent financial risks. It speaks to the state of the economy struggling to grow after 3 years of strict COVID restrictions and regulatory crackdowns and the systemic risk to bank balance sheets from the debt burdens of property firms and local governments. Chinese commercial banks' net interest margins, a gauge of profitability, are at actually a record low of 1.74% at the end of June. That's below a regulatory red line of 1.8%. China cut its one-year loan prime rate, the LPR, by 10 basis points this week, but left the five-year tenor, which influences the pricing of mortgages, unchanged at 4.2%. The People's Bank of China has reduced rates on its lending to banks. Outstanding personal mortgages in the country amounted to 38.6 trillion yuan, which is about $5.3 trillion in June, according to PBOC data. Rates for existing mortgage loans are revised every year based on the five-year LPR in December. Qiu Quibing, chief macro analyst at BOC International China, estimates the weighted average rate of new mortgages is 4.11%, while the average rate of all existing mortgages is at least 100 basis points higher. The five-year LPR has been trending down. It was 4.3% in December and 4.45% in July 2022. The LPR is one among rates set by China's banks and counts among the de facto policy rates, as the PBOC does not set bank rates directly. If banks cut their interest rates for existing mortgages by 30 basis points, their annual interest earnings will shrink by more than 70 billion yuan, or about 3% of the 2.3 trillion yuan net profit of the banking industry in 2022, Zhu said. Liu Ting, chief China economist at Nomura, wants markets to pay close attention to whether Beijing nudges banks to lower deposit rates in the coming weeks. With the need for protecting their net interest margins, banks will only lower their new loan lending rates when they're able to reduce their deposit rates, Liu said. And Xing Xiaoping, a senior China strategist at ANZ, points to how deposit rates are pegged to the one-year LPR, and estimates banks will cut those by 20 basis points. And he also expects a tweak to rules so that existing mortgage rates can be set lower. The plan to reduce existing mortgage rates is indeed in the making, Xing said. Now in Australia, a three-day midweek reprieve was not enough to stop the share market posting its second straight week of losses as investors nervously waited cues from the US Federal Reserve's interest rate outlook at Jackson Hole. The benchmark ASX 200 lost a further 0.93% on Friday to close at 7,115. It lost 0.2% over the 5 days, extending the previous week's 2.6% decline. Shares fell before US Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's address at Jackson Hole, because of course it was later in the day. Across the 5 days of trading, the energy sector was the worst hit, down 2.2%, tracking the second straight week of declines in oil prices. And tech stocks ended the week just 1.2% higher after dropping 2% on Friday. Corporate earnings from benchmark heavyweights such as BHP, Coles and Qantas dominated the trading week. But on Friday, shares in Pilbara Minerals were the worst performing on the benchmark, slumping 8% to $4.70, despite the mining company's full-year net profit jumping fivefold to $3.4 billion. Other companies to report on Friday included Accent Group, which soared more than 17.1% to $2.16, following a 24% boost in full-year sales. In other news, insurer IAG fell 1.8% to $5.68, following news that two of its subsidiaries are being sued by ASIC for having misled customers about the loyalty discounts available for certain types of home insurance. And budget jewellery retailer Lovisa rebounded 6.2% to $22.56 after analysts at Citi and Morgan Stanley upgraded the stock to neutral and equal weight, respectively. The shares fell on Thursday after the company cut its final dividend. And Telix Pharmaceuticals jumped another 3% on Friday to $10.44, adding to a 3.6% gain in the previous session after it narrowed its net losses by 80%. But banks were also down on Friday, with CBA down 1.03% to $99.57, NAB was down 1.76% to $27.89, ANZ was down 0.9% to $24.30, and Westpac was down 0.51% to $21.32. And the Aussie was also down again to 64 cents to the US and 50.87 cents against the UK pound. And finally, Bitcoin remains in the doldrums. It was last at around $26,000, but believers are now turning to the familiar Bitcoin halving cycle and perhaps hinting at a significant shift in the Bitcoin price behavior as the final quarter of 2023 approaches. But that said, Bitcoin's price does seem destined to remain range-bound until at least the fourth quarter of 2023. And that's a prediction made by FlipFlip, an esteemed market analyst and co-founder of the crypto analytics platform DecentTrader. So he advises followers that they should brace for stagnation in Bitcoin price leading into the year's end. This advice comes despite a bullish 70% gain in Bitcoin in the first quarter, of course. Bitcoin's current situation isn't raising much cheer among bulls, and yet he observes little change in Bitcoin's price action during this halving cycle compared to previous ones. The digital currency finds itself 1,200 days after the last halving, during which it typically consolidates, he said. By examining various comparative charts, he predicts miners will likely start to push prices higher as the Bitcoin halving approaches, which has historically occurred around 1,276 days after the preceding halving. Miners are motivated to secure prices that exceed marginal costs leading up to the halving, and regardless of whether they are actively colluding, they share a collective drive to boost prices before their marginal revenue is cut in half, he said, adding that this, in effect, in combination with intelligent investors keen on seizing opportunities around the potential positive price impact of Bitcoin halving, has previously bolstered the market. This calculation leads to an early November deadline as a prospective period for these behaviors to manifest. From a chronological standpoint, he suggests that the fourth quarter appears vital for Bitcoin. Therefore, during this time, he expects a constrained supply and an influx of new capital driven by speculation. And concluding his analysis, he anticipates an explosive fourth quarter for Bitcoin. During this period, the interplay between historical patterns and contemporary market dynamics could set the stage for a riveting close to the year. The savvy investors and Bitcoin enthusiasts who heed these signals may find themselves well positioned to capitalize, and that could be transformative in the crypto market, he says. But of course, it's essential to recognize the inherent volatility and unpredictability of the cryptocurrency market, and users should therefore perform their own due diligence, research, and risk assessment before making investments. And by the way, that is also true of the broader market, because we are still in very volatile territory. If you stand back and think about it, the higher for longer mantra means that the profitability of companies must be questioned now. And it may well be that the stock markets are going to actually come back over the next few months. We will see. The higher interest rates are going to put a lot of pressure on households, businesses, and of course, government. And we know that governments are going to be spending a lot more on interest rate payments in the months and years ahead. So in this new normal environment, where interest rates are going to stay high for longer, the markets have yet to fully digest this, I think. And therefore, we must expect more volatility ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.